broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on this Getaway Friday, Friday, September the 15th, 2023, 17 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio this morning by Matt Morgan, and as I was saying, good deeds are sincere sometimes. And I'm not going to say the name because I know the person didn't do it to get recognition, but somebody this morning brought you and I a muffin just to be nice. We didn't ask for it. They didn't do it on air. We did not. That's sincerity.
I agree. It was a good muffin, too.
And it was a good muffin. It's a blueberry muffin. But most people don't do that, and herein lies the problem.
I agree.
So, be more sincere. Like, you know what? I am sincere in everything I say on this program. Now, I know that sometimes people out there listening, I have probably hurt their feelings or made them mad or something of that nature. It's bound to happen. You say a lot of things. But that's not my intention, is to upset people or make people mad. So, here we go. Here comes a phone call. All right. Put on the headset, Matt. Are you not going to hear the phone call? Go ahead, caller.
Cool.
Hey, not to go against you, because you know I just hate doing that, but I think we all heard you say, oh, that's a good-looking muffin. Thank you, Pastor.
Oh, did we say that?
Not we, you.
Oh, I did? Okay. Well, but again, he didn't do that for, I mean, that was me. He didn't come on the air and go.
What are we talking about today, Scott? What can we jack our jaws about today?
Well, Matt and I, during the first hour, were just back on the sincerity topic, because last night when we did the television show with Carrington, she brought up an interesting point, and she said she felt that all acts, or 90%, excuse me, 90% of acts are insincere, that people really do want things. And most good deeds are driven by something. And you and I believe, are the ones who had the conversation the other day where you said, well, sometimes people's feelings change, and that's what drives it. And I was making the point, it's not, people can stop doing anything at any time, and yes, people's feelings can change. But my point is, why did you do it so consistently for so long? What was your motivation there? Clearly, it wasn't just to be a nice person, because when your feelings changed, you didn't want to be a nice person anymore.
Right. Well, different things do motivate different people. I mean, I know a lot of good Christian people that do a lot of things, and they would never take, they don't want their names put out there. They would never take a shred of credit for anything. And then again, you got people that, like, you know, dudes that are trying to, like, get with chicks, that, you know, wine them, dine them, all that stuff.
But why do they fall for that? That's the ongoing question. Over and over and over again, the women, and I hate to say women, but you said chicks, fall for it. Why? Why?
The what?
Why do they fall for it every time?
Well, everybody likes to, and some people, I mean, there are, I know probably a handful of relationships that have stood the test of time, and those men still love those women, and they're still taking them out to eat, and that's still their lady. So it is possible, but is it probable? And my thing is just like, you know, I think I told you the other day, I got taught a lesson or two. I haven't been around the block, so my thing is like, don't come at me with, like, Red Lobster and all this if it ain't going to be Red Lobster 3 years from now. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but
if we're
going to
be eating bologna and fighting and carrying on, then let's go ahead and do it right now.
But you know it's not going to be
three years
from now.
Right. But you really don't, because, like I said, I do know a handful. Now, that's not the majority, but I do know a handful of people who have been married for, like, their whole lives, and that man still cherishes that woman with his whole heart.
But see, this is my question, though. Yes, I agree with that. And I'm not, I don't want people to ever think that I'm condemning marriage, because actually, I believe the older generation has a shot at it. And I believe I've said many times on this show, the first marriage, I will never criticize or critique, even if I think it's wrong, because maybe it will be right. But four or five down the road, or relationships, or whatever, at some point, you have got to say, listen, I am not doing this right. And if you're still getting the same feeling, well, now, how many times have you had this feeling? 7 or 8 times? I mean, let's just be honest. You've got a character flaw, and you should stop this or do something different.
Well, it's how we're raised. I mean, when you're in kindergarten and stuff, they tell you if at first you don't succeed, try again. Maybe don't try, not again.
Well, but what... people are not that different at their core. Now, every so often you'll get a really bad person, but I can't.
I was going to say Ted Bundy. I think we can all disagree there.
But I can't. I can't believe 7 or 8 relationships, 4 or 5 marriages down the road, that one of those guys was not nice to you.
I mean, I tapped out after one marriage, so I'm not going to argue with you.
But can you imagine being your age and let's say 3 or 4?
Well, according to you, people my age shouldn't like flirt or try to be sexy or go to concerts or like you're a has been by the time you're my age.
Now, wait a second. When did I say that?
Well, okay. All right. When the popcorn festival was going on, you said, this isn't young girls that are going down there. It's like, you know, grandmas and old ladies, and I don't want to see that.
Well, see, now this goes to the point I opened up this program with. I know I tick people off sometimes, but at least I'm sincere.
It made me laugh. I thought it was hilarious. But a lot of the things you say, even if they're snarky, I'm over here just rolling like, I can't believe you just said that.
You know what's fun? I'm glad you called in today because somebody, I don't know what was going on this week, but have you ever had one of those weeks where, like, you don't hear something for a long time, and then you hear it like 6 or 7 times in a row? I had a guy who's very big in radio, owns several radio stations, and I was having some audio trouble the other night doing something. I was broadcasting out, and the audio was just awful. It wasn't going well at all. And the guy kept listening, and he kept critiquing the audio. And at one point, I said, why are you still listening if you think my audio is so bad? Tune away. And he said, because you're so entertaining. I find you entertaining. And then the next day, the person came in and said, you know, I don't agree with 90% of the topics that you bring up, but I can't turn you off because you're entertaining.
There's a lot of times when I was dead set in my thinking on a certain topic, like a certain way, and then I'll listen to you and I'll be like, as much as I hate to admit it, he's got a point.
Well,
don't let that go to your head or anything.
No, but I believe we are an informative station, and I believe you... my goal in life is not for people to like me. Now, if you do, that's great. I love meeting people who do, but you know what? If you came up to me and said, listen, I don't like you very much, but I like your show because it's entertaining, then hey, you know what? That's a home run. I'll take that any day of the week.
And you don't, like, just take and put the emphasis on one side, like you'll have people from both sides of the fence, you know, and you don't monitor your calls and you don't try to restrain what people say. I mean, it's kind of like a free-for-all sometimes, but of opinions, but you welcome them all.
And we've had a lot of fun. But the other point you were making about when I said the old ladies were down at the concert last week.
And I know you didn't say old ladies. That's just me being me paraphrasing in all of my...
Right. But no, the paraphrase is pretty close to what I did say. And the point of it is what I think the problem is when these older... listen, maybe you look great. I'm not saying you can't have a you know, whatever, good body, good face, good... You can have that into your 40s, but I'm just saying you have that because of sub-augmentation. That people do get Botox in Mariana.
Oh, no, that's not...
Listen, the hair is starting to gray in your 40s, whether you like it or not.
Hold on. What? I don't have gray hair.
You have no gray hairs on that head?
I don't have the amount of hair I used to have, but I challenge you to try to find one gray head on my hair, on my head.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you look like you looked when you were 20?
Nobody does.
That's my point.
Some people, you can't just paint everybody with the same black brush. You're going to tell me that, like, Cher, one of the most beautiful women on the face of the earth, you're going to tell me that by 40 she was just ready to go out the pasture? I mean, she was just getting started then. I mean, she looked good clear until the day she died. And, yeah, they might have had a little nip or a tuck.
No, there are women.
Those women have natural beauty.
There are women my age who I find attractive, so I'm not saying they're not attractive. Of course I do. And I'm sure I'll get into one of those wretched relationships again at some point in my life that'll end in disaster, but that's the way it goes. So, but my point is that...
You better try to avoid it at all costs, though, aren't you?
I really should, because it's... But it gives me a lot of material to use on the air, so that's what I say. Thank God the relationship ended.
Oh,
I got six
I
more months.
Oh, I heard Matt laugh. I was just you and I there for the longest. Hi, Matt.
And Matt,
how's it going?
Well, it's going good.
See, that was the entertainment value of this program. But the point is that I of course I find women my age attractive. I mean, that's one of the first things that gets you interested in somebody. But it's a different attraction than I had when they were 18. When they were 18, they looked a lot different. They were in sports in school. They were doing things like that. Now it's well-preserved. You know, they look good for their age. And that's what, I'm sorry, and listen, there are a lot of elderly ladies, and by elderly, I'm talking over 65, because that's what we define elderly as, that's not what I define elderly as, who are getting along just fine, and I've heard people say about people with a full head of white hair, older ladies say, they look very good, they don't look their age.
Well, and that pendulum swings both ways, because like us ladies, you know, we gotta deal with dad bods and stuff, so don't act like that ain't a thing.
Exactly. Sure, but you know, a lot of times I get the women problem laid on me, but essentially it's because I'm not into men, so my situations are all with women. If there was a woman hosting this program, she'd have a different perspective on that.
Well, I can't wait. Carrington's going to be on tonight, right?
Yes, Carrington will be here tonight.
All right. Well, you guys have a good show.
Hey, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
740-383-9944. Phone lines are always open. 740-383-9944. Now, see, there's another example of one of our callers who now knows you and Carrington because of me. We had that conversation last night, too.
Yeah.
Tell them about that conversation. That was an interesting conversation we had last night.
One time that worked there.
This was about sincerity. This started with... sincerity. Do we do things to benefit ourselves, or do we do things to benefit others? And when Carrington, it came off Carrington's 90% for yourself comment.
So there was a woman who came through Scott's line at work and had asked how to watch the show, the Exchange Club show that we do that's taped and posted to YouTube. And Scott had, you know, told her how to watch it. But before that, she had said that she originally went to the our pharmacy looking for Carrington.
And how would she know her?
Yeah, and then Scott said, well, how do you know what Carrington looks like? She says, well, the photos.
Right, the promotion. So my contention was that putting Matt and Carrington on did not help me in any way, so it was an unselfish act that helped them, because now they have a resume in broadcasting that they could take anywhere.
What if you put...
you cannot leave, by the way. You're under contract.
You put us on because it drew a younger audience to the radio station.
I don't know if it did or not. I think it did.
I think it did.
Yeah, I think so. But that's not self-will for me. It's not going to help me in the long run.
Do you not manage the radio station?
I do, but in the long run, like I told you before, many have come before you and many have went. So everybody's replaceable, so am I, by the way. So keep the line moving. It's not you two particularly right now are just good at this, and I can see it, so you have to give somebody a shot. So here's the shot. But that doesn't benefit me, because in the end, what if somebody heard you? Would you leave? Would you have any loyalty to me? If somebody came along and said, hey, you know, I heard you on that station, and come over to this station, would you leave?
Maybe. I don't know. I kind of like it here.
See, that is also the problem with this. Because once you create the star, you create the star, and then everybody else wants the star. So do they have any loyalty to you? You really are doing this unselfishly, because it really can bite you in the face.
I mean, not necessarily. I mean,
nobody would be looking to put you and Carrington on the air had you not been on the air here. So if anybody ever approaches you, you're going to know where they heard you.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So there you go.
Fair enough.
So I think it works against us in a lot of cases. And you always have to be cognizant of that. And I've put people on the air who didn't necessarily go other places but just ended their tenure here. Well, then I have to explain that because I made them a personality. Now, and that sounds a little egotistical. I personally cannot make you good. People are either going to like you or dislike you based on you. But I can give you the forum to do it. So if I give somebody the forum and they get to know that person and then that person leaves, now I got to explain why they left because I gave them the forum to make themselves a personality. So, you know, it works both ways.
I mean, that's fair.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, just because you answered the phone, I'm going to say hello, Matt.
How's it going?
I like that, Scott.
That was fine. You know what? It's been one of those days.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to refer back to yesterday, and it's kind of fitting in with what you're talking about. But the little brown jug announcer. Now, I have never heard his name before, and I've never heard him before because I've never related the brown jug with him announcing. You know, if I went to everyone for 50 years, well, I'd kind of run into him or know who's announcing if he's well-liked like I like to listen to him yesterday. But here's the thing. In broadcasting, now that would be, what would be your category if I said broadcasting and I want to get clarification on this, and then iRacing, any sports announcer, and this and that. They're all different. They're all different characteristics in that what you and Matt are right doing now, you know, right?
Is that right, what I'm right,
in
right.
The whole line of that?
Yeah.
And I liked him real well because he was that type of announcer. I've heard sports announcers like your White Sox buddy take me out to the ball game. Now, he was a character and a half, you know, and I can't think of his name right off. I'm really bad on names and stuff. You know who I'm talking
Harry
about.
Harry Carey.
Yeah, Harry. He was a character. And when I say character, a lot of some people use, oh, that's a character. Well, what's wrong with that word, you know? Well, they got something to them that makes them a character, you know. You'll never forget them because that's the kind of personality they got. Am I following up pretty close to what the subject is on announcing and stuff like you're getting at, that everybody thinks, well, I'll have to be like Scott. Well, I have to be like this guy and that guy and this guy. There's none of them the same. They're all different. And what a profession to get into. That's what the point I'm getting to, like Matt. You don't have to key yourself with them because there is no way anybody's going to key themselves to anybody else. You know, there's a protege or this or that, but they're not the character or the announcer or the this and that. But the question I was going to ask, I'll beat around the bush. I know I'll let you talk to something more interesting than me. What did he say on the air? Now, the baseball umpire, now he's had some kind of quote there, and they're off and running. What was that? I caught that, but then I haven't got that in my mind what he said. Do you recall that?
Oh, are you talking about Rogers' catchphrase?
Yeah.
Roger's catchphrase is "Be there,"
but he said it in a lot different voice.
Oh yeah, when he did his call yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. You know what? That's a good question. I forget exactly what he did say, but down the stretch they come. Yeah, he said more than that.
There was something there that was similar to yeah. He had that rough, quick voice. But they're off and running, or was that it, or something like that?
It was something like, you know what, we'll have to, that little bit, because that is a good, you are, it's like the You're Out, it's like the George Kasotis. We'll have to take that little bit of Roger doing the call and make that one of our things.
Yeah, so because if he's announcing, and if I happen to be down around the brown jug, I would listen for that or hear something on the radio or TV. In which he is on both, I guess. He's been able to. Where Australia? He was down there for a while announcing, and wasn't that it?
Yeah, over 55 years now.
Yeah, but all the places that he's been. So you take it to a fact like that and being in his position where he ventures here and there, you're only at one station or your home, see, and being on TV, those people there, they're facing the public and nationwide and all around too, you know, so boy, there's quite a field of ways to, how do I say, you're going to do business and stuff, so the younger people coming up, they're just not going to have to just listen to what they got to say. They may a major thing in what their other people like to hear them say. So anyhow, I jumbled everything all up, but you got the point.
It was good. I'm glad you enjoyed the interview with Roger yesterday. I've heard that from a lot of people that they enjoyed that interview.
Yes, it was very interesting, and you had to be there. You had to listen to it and listen to it well, and you'd had to know Delaware, Ohio, and that was really a trait. Knowing Delaware, how all of them that he's announced down there to the little brown jug. That's a thing you listen more closely when it's kind of in your area. You know, I didn't know that about him. You know, and stuff like that. Hey, have a good one, guys. Matt, hang in there.
Thanks. Bye bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Yeah, you can't copy somebody else. You will never be as good as they are imitating them, because they're the best at being them. So it's always best to be yourself.
Yeah.
But what I was saying was, when you give somebody the forum, I don't know that that is helping you in any way. I mean, it gives you more diversity, gives you more voices on the air, yes, but it also, you can create a monster.
How so?
Well, because, again, they can turn on you.
But
it doesn't take long to turn on somebody. Trust me, we've had it happen. I've had to give the speeches.
What do you mean, turn on?
Well, I mean, you know, somebody else hears them on your station and says, boy, I should put them on my station. And they have really no... I don't want to call it loyalty, because it's not like they're contracted to you, but you give them a spot. Basically, you put them in the spotlight, and it can help them more than it's going to help you in the long term. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, Sarah said Cher was good right up till the end.
Well, she didn't hit the end yet. I believe she's still alive.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I believe Cher's still alive.
Well, you know, yeah, so, I find women my age attractive, of course. I'm not saying that women are unattractive. I'm just saying that you're attracted to different things in your 30s and 40s than you are in your teens.
Oh, yeah.
That's all.
That's why sometimes a person's better off to wait a little while before they get married.
Yeah, some people can't pump those brakes.
You know, especially a first marriage, when you're young, you know, doesn't have much of a chance to, you know, to last very long.
What do you think about, you've listened to this station a while. You've seen people come and go. Now, do you think it works better for the station to put somebody on the air, or it works better for the person getting the chance to be on air?
Oh, I think it can go both ways. I mean, it helps the station when you got more people there and, you know, more people get involved. If it was just you talking today, it wouldn't be as much as entertaining as you and Matt talking.
Right. But see, now here's the problem, though. You've got to have an ear for broadcasting. Not everybody can do it. And so you find the person, and you go through all that time and effort to teach them and get them where they need to be, and then because they are so good, somebody else hears them, and they know, I'm not leaving, so they got to go after them, and do they have loyalty to you? Well, sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't. And you know what? I'm all for people. If you want to go somewhere else, if you think you're happier somewhere else, I don't want you to stay here, because then it's just going to create a friction. And I'll wish you the best, and God bless you. But to be honest, it doesn't always work out well for the people who do that. And
well,
then
better for them to go somewhere else rather than sit around, you know, talking, you know, ways that they you know, dislike the station or dislike you or dislike any guest, you know. If it's that bad, you know, go somewhere else.
But also the grass isn't always greener. And then sometimes they get there and they realize that it wasn't so much all of them. It was like 70% them. But they were being put in situations thanks to the station and the programming that was helping them along that now they're not getting at another place.
You know, sometimes if you have a problem with your job, you know, in your job, you know, let's say with the boss or something, you know, if you're the type of person that just quits, just, you know, I'm out of here, you know. The boss might not be there for a while, for very long. You get different boss things, level change, or you might become, you know, good friends with the boss. But just cop an attitude real quick just because something, you know, tend to, you know, not go the way you wanted it to go and quit, you know, I don't necessarily help you.
But I will say this, if I genuinely think the situation is better for the person and I know that we can't offer it to them, I say go with our blessing. Do it.
You know, we've had people quit, you know, when we was in business before and go elsewhere. Mom kind of would make comments that she, you know, but any time you know, if somebody else is better than themselves, you know, even if it puts you in a spot and you're going to have to retrain somebody, you know, it's good for them. You can't, you know, fault them or, you know, talk bad about them, you know.
No. And you don't talk bad about even the people who leave you and you think they're making a tremendous mistake. You just say, well, I hope it's the best for you. But I will say, I don't think that's the best idea. But you got to do what you want to do.
I miss you and Glenn, you know, interacting together.
I tried to tell him not to run for mayor, but what can you do? No, I'm kidding. No, you know, Glenn was just an age thing, to be honest with you. That's why I was surprised when he announced he was running for mayor. But I'll tell you this, Glenn has tremendous, what should I say? I want to get the right word here. Glenn is loyal. Glenn comes to the Christmas parties. Glenn gave me the first interview when he announced he was running for mayor. Glenn told me before anybody else that he was running for mayor in the media. Glenn comes to the anniversary parties. If I asked Glenn to do something, he would do it. I already had the interview at City Council booked with him before I ever showed up the other night. Glenn is very loyal to me. Even though he has no association with this station anymore, Glenn is loyal. So loyal is important.
Right, and he left. You guys are still friends. He's still friends with the station, you know?
Absolutely. And I will always remember this. And I was thinking about this the other day. I don't know why I was thinking about loyalty the other day. But do you remember when Charlie Evers was ill toward the end? And he was on the air till a month before he died. He died in May of 2020.
I didn't listen to it then.
You weren't listening? Well, there was a moment here. May of 2020, he died. He died Memorial Day weekend 2020. His last time on the air was the 1st of April 2020, so a month before. And one of the last things he said as he was leaving, and he didn't know, maybe he did know he was, I don't know. Who knows? But he did say some things that day that kind of shocked us all, the last day he was in the office. And I remember on the air he said, I'm not going to be coming in as much anymore from now on because I'm just not feeling the best. But when you hear from me, you will hear it on WWGH. This is where you will hear from me. And I always, that was tremendous loyalty. And I had it for him, and he had it for me. And I will always appreciate that and remember him for that.
Yeah, I didn't listen back then. Angie's one that told me about the station, you know.
Well, and I thank her for that. And again, Angie did a lot of good when she was here. There's no negative to that, but it was one of those situations, again, where, you know, we gave her a forum. God bless her. She's not on any other station now.
That really wasn't her alley being on the radio station.
What's that?
That really wasn't her alley being on the radio station.
I'm not going to say that because I don't want any trouble. But, you know, It was what it was.
Dab like Charlie had. I mean, you know, or like Matt. You know, she didn't talk as much like, you know, Matt and Carrington's, you know, talk.
You know, a lot of people think I'm coming down on her a lot of times when I say the Friday show is so great now. That's more of a compliment to Matt and Carrington than it is a diss on anybody in the past.
You know, the show was fine, was good when she was on there too, but she just wasn't the talker, you know, and giving her opinion like Matt and Carrington's doing.
Right, but I Angie was fine. I enjoyed my programs with her. I have nothing bad to say about her. I believe her mom Jeannie still listens. I hope she does. Jeannie's very loyal. And when I see Jeannie and her sister, I still talk to them. Matter of fact, I saw her oldest sister, Kathy, at the Bratwurst Festival, had a nice conversation. Saw Amy at the fair, had a nice conversation. Saw Jeannie at the fair, had a nice conversation. And it is what it is. That's Charlie's family, too. I was with Charlie for 20 years on the air. What am I supposed to do, have an anger toward his family now? Why would I?
All right. But maybe she can come on as a guest sometime, let us... You know, because of course there's probably more me that kind of miss her, or
who's a guest?
You know,
who do you want on as a guest?
Yeah, she could be a good guest.
Who's that?
Angie.
Oh, well,
you know, she could come on again as a guest or something.
You know, I don't know if that would ever happen, but I wouldn't say no.
Well, I just wanted to. I didn't think Cher had passed away yet.
No, it was a good opinion. Hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Bye-bye. Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. What are you smiling about?
That
call made you a little too happy.
No, I forgot that. I forgot that the first things he said when he called in was about Cher.
Cher's not dead. Cher did not pass away. Boy, I have heard a lot of stuff, though, about the Roger Houston interview yesterday. People must have really liked that, and I'm glad they did. 740-383-9944. The phone lines are open. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I was thinking last night there, and I couldn't think of his name. Howard Cosell. Now there's an announcer for you, isn't
it? Unique.
Wasn't he something else? And how many names did Cassius Clay? Was that his born name?
Yes, Muhammad Ali's was Cassius Clay.
Okay, and then he only had the two names. He changed his name from Cassius Clay to that.
Right.
Yeah. But him and Howard Cosell. Now you're talking about a put on gang. Those two was a put on gang. Now. I enjoyed them. And you talk about announcers. I'd like to see you have a rundown list of announcers, like in our period of time, and the people, the younger and the older. Well, boy, aren't they all tremendous announcers? And you being an interviewer and stuff like that, a lot of them haven't got talents like that. But in that profession, I will get back to that profession of all that. That is an outstanding profession, because one profession is, well, you're an airplane pilot. Well, you fly an airplane from A to B to B to A. That's it. But announcing, my goodness gracious, look at all the things that announcers do in the world of today's thing. But Cassius Clay, wasn't that some name? And he was from Kentucky, and I worked with a guy that he lived in Kentucky, and he knew Cassius Clay and his brother, and he said his brother could kick his tail any day of the night. I had to laugh. I said, yeah, right. And he said, well, that's right. But he said, just because you're not a champion or well-known all over the world, that's no sign that there is thousands of people out there that could be the same way if they wanted to, but they never chose it, see? So have a good one, Scott.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, that's right there, and it's interesting how the callers are calling in today talking about things we similarly touched on last night, and I was talking about broadcasting last night. I think it was off the air with you and Carrington about how it is different, as the last caller just said. All airline pilots are doing one thing essentially, point A to point B. That's an airline pilot. Broadcasting's different. Broadcasters are different. It's a very different field. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Matt. This is Pastor Craig.
Hey, Pastor.
How's it going?
Going all right. I'm on my way into the station, but I just thought I'd call you. What you've been talking about. Having been in that situation, I had been on radio only in recorded form, and Scott, you gave me that first opportunity to be on radio and do a live show, and I really appreciated that. And I did jump ship, and when you jump ship, two things can happen. It can work out really well, and you say, that was a good move, or it cannot work out well, and you can say, well, boy, that was a bad move. And this is kind of directed towards Matt, but, you know, for me, one of the great signs that Scott doesn't carry grudges is when my situation didn't really work out after I had left. There was no animosity, and Scott, you know, you invited me back, and there's never been any kind of discussion or display of any kind of animosity. I mean, it's just like we just only never missed a step.
Well, and you know what that, I'll tell you, Pastor, 2 points for that, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it's very interesting. Yes, we gave you the platform, but you had to have talent to succeed, or nobody else would have given you a second look. So that's on you. We just give you the microphone. So you have to have talent, same thing with Carrington, same thing with Matt. They've got to have their own talent, and they do as well as you did. And the reason there was no grudge and for you to come back, it's not an animosity when somebody leaves. You really do, because when you believe somebody has talent, as we believed in you, as we believe in Matt and Carrington in the current point, when you know somebody's going into a bad situation, or you believe it, and sometimes you can be proven wrong, you hate to see that, because you want to see them go further. If you were going into a good situation, I thought, boy, that's going to be great for him, I just said, hey, that's great. Go ahead. Same thing with them. So that's the difference in it. And also, as far as inviting you back, you know, when I say we're a family around here, family members sometimes don't see each other for a minute, but it doesn't mean that there's animosity. I cannot hold a grudge for very long, and I think most people around here would say that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So anyway, I'll see you in a few minutes.
See you in a few minutes. Pastor Craig coming up at 11:15 this morning. Well, there you go, Matt. There's some firsthand information.
I did not know that.
So what do you take from the whole conversation?
Apparently Pastor Craig tried to ditch you.
Is that what you took from that? Well, no, I mean, it's just, listen, I understand when somebody else comes to you, that can be very appealing, because it's the first time somebody comes to you and says, hey, I heard you, you're great, you know, I can do so much more for you, and that's what the pitch usually is. Okay.
I mean, isn't that the pitch for everything always, is I can do this and this? And
it is, but I do understand it, and I don't hold a grudge about that. This is broadcasting. It's not brain surgery. It's broadcasting. And you make it, or you fall or fail on your own laurels. We can give you the forum. You do what you do with it from there. But, you know, when I'm trying to think of somebody who I've had a grudge against who left. And I can't think of anybody, even if I thought they were going into a bad situation, I just felt bad for them. Because I thought, that's not going to be good.
Just, that's not going to be good.
Yeah, you try to say it in the most polite way, because you don't want to come off egotistical and say, ha, stay with us, we're 10 times better. You don't want to do that, but you just want, that's not going to turn out well. But, hope it doesn't.
I think you should, look, like I said, I think you should always just give your honest opinion.
And I do to the best of my ability, but I also don't want to jinx somebody. And because when you tell, listen, if you have any respect for anybody that they do something in the broadcast industry, and I hope that people have some, they don't have to respect me. I know that's a big word with you. But say, hey, he did something in broadcasting. He's won awards. He's done something. I hope that you would take my opinion with some weight, and that that's not real broadcasting where you're headed. That's going to be bad for you. So that's what I hope.
I mean, yeah, that makes sense.
But I also, you know, on the other hand, hey, that's going to be great for you. Do it. Do it with our blessing and do it. You'll always have a home to come back here to. And I would say that.
Always.
Yeah, well, you know what? The first place you start always holds a special place for you.
I don't doubt that.
It does. I mean, where I started, which was not here, I mean, I think of that very fondly. Good times.
Where did you start?
WMRN.
They're still around.
Well, not really. Not the way they were. The AM station is where I started, and it's all automated now. But there were
the
real...
AM station, or just overall?
They pretty much are all automated, period. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to get this in this hour. DJs, people who play music, are all derelicts. So, there you go. I don't know why that is, but DJs... People who play music, I've never met one who wasn't completely quirky. Quirky is the nice way to put it. So all you DJs who are listening, all right, go ahead, caller.
Hi, my name is Becky Sprague with the Employee Retention Credit Admin Department.
Oh, this is a robocall. A nice robocall for the hour here. 740-383-9944. Who was that, Becky Sprague? Is that what she said? Well, there's a new listener for us. But broadcasting, I guess the point, is multifaceted. Like, you could be a Roger Houston calling harness racing. You could be a John Madden doing sports. You could be a talk show host. You could be an analyst. You could be so many different interviewer. You could be a journalist. You can be a DJ. It's just so many different. It's not flying the airplane from point A to point B.
You just gotta. So you just what? Do what you want to do.
Well, try to figure out what you do best, and hopefully somebody will tell you that you do that really well, and somebody will also tell you you're not doing that very well.
I think people are pretty good at that.
Hopefully they are, and you got to be able to take it, because some people don't take criticism well. But Pastor Craig's coming up next hour, and then we're going to be back at 12:15 with Pastor Craig, and we have a whole litany of things to discuss, as well as top 10 lists, which are going to be a lot of fun, here on WGH Talk, one of the greatest family stations. And none of us are related, but yet we are family, just like family around here. And don't forget tonight, 8:15 to 10 p.m., Carrington, Matt, and I, and Sean. Tonight, I believe, we'll be all in house tonight for the big program. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Matt, you're just a young man. How old you say? 19?
Yeah.
Well, 19. So you got to go from your 19, 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, and that's where I am. And I'll tell you, you're learning every time of day, night, and anything you do and stuff will all affect you. But if you give it your heart, and if that's truly what you want to be in, like, don't waste your time. You'll know, and you get a young man, so you're going to get a lot of criticism, buddy, because I did too, and that's part of growing up. And I know that if you really love it and like it, you don't have to love it, but if you like it real well and that's your profession and you want to do it, and then you can drop it and go to something else. Don't worry about it. Just do what you feel like doing the best. Bye.
Hey, thank you.
Thank you.
And we're done. Pastor Craig coming up in 15 minutes, and we're back at 12:15.
As an actress to play, they have more edges to them. They have more color to them. Isn't that a shame that goodness isn't more fascinating, or our world would be better?